On this third Sunday of Advent, the theme is joy, and it interacts with the final theme of my fall sermon series based on the book by Eric Elness, Gifts of the Dark Wood, Seven Blessings for Soulful Skeptics and Other Wanderers. This final gift is the gift of misfits, other travelers, and so the sermon is appropriately titled Happy Misfits. As I mentioned to the children, the theme of this third Sunday of Advent is joy. It's important to make room in our longing hearts for the immediate experience of joy. Joy sneaks up on us. We're unaware of its presence until it forces a smile. Our immediate reaction, of course, is to cover it. Did I do that? Did someone see me? Slight reddening of the cheeks. Too late. Joy surprised you anyway. Now, we may object that it is not meet and right to be joyful in the midst of so much sadness in the world. Meet is a wonderful word, spelled M-E-T-E. It's that old-sounding word that means just. In the 1559 Anglican Book of Common Prayer, we hear, "It is very meet, right, and our bounden duty, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to thee, O Lord, Holy Father, almighty, everlasting God." It is meet, because, of course, gratitude is married to joy. They're lovers. They are bounden. Once gratitude slips out, not a cursory thank you, but a gushing expression that just leaves you like a belch. You can't help it. Gratitude bubbles out, and with it, a smile, joy. "Thanks. I needed that," we say with a giggle. Is it right? Is it meet? Yes, say all the wise ones. Don't postpone joy. Don't keep it at bay. Don't say, "Come back another time." If you make a place in your heart for sadness, you can make a place for joy. They'll get along just fine. They will, in fact, enrich each other and tell body jokes. It's okay, more than okay. It is meet and right, even in the midst of grief, to allow yourself to be embraced and kissed on the lips by joy. Thus, Jesus, that happy misfit, had the audacity to declare to those whose hearts were torn out, whose bellies were empty, their accounts in debt. Congratulations. Congratulations, you poor. God's domain belongs to you. Congratulations, you hungry. You will have a feast. Congratulations, you who weep now, you will laugh. It's the language of pronouncement. In thus saying, he declares it so. Now, that collection of sayings was voted Christmas Red by the Jesus Seminar. "That is most certainly our man Jesus," they said, going around congratulating the poor, the hungry, and the grieving. Too weird of a thing for a normal person to do. Must be Jesus. Now, it's natural to object. There's something unjust, isn't there, about joy? I lost my lover. I lost my child. I lost my parent. Is it just for their sakes that I experience joy? Mustn't I carry the banner of grief for their sakes, for their memory, for their honor? How can I let joy sit at the table when they will be absent? And that's real. Whether we come out and say it, it's there. We may feel we're betraying our lost love if we're happy. How can I let joy sit at the table when they will be absent? Only sadness is noble enough to keep them alive in our hearts. So we turn away joy at the gate. "Not today, come back tomorrow. Better yet, I'll call you." Now, joy understands your need for space, as they say. But joy does not obey. Joy resorts to trickery. Joy sneaks in through the back door and jumps on you like a puppy. Joy, like Clarence, the clownish angel in It's a Wonderful Life, jumps off the bridge before sad and guilt-ridden George Bailey can. And of course, George saves Clarence, and now it's too late for George. Joy has him. Joy is sneaky. Joy is persistent. Joy won't give up, not until you smile. Joy is meet and right. We've been walking through the dark wood through autumn. I've been borrowing that metaphor from Eric Elness, a minister who wrote the book Gifts of the Dark Wood, Seven Blessings for Soulful Skeptics and Other Wanderers. And I've been basing my sermons on the seven gifts that he names that come upon us unexpectedly in the dark wood. And we may not necessarily think of them as gifts, but they turn out to be that. These gifts are the gifts of uncertainty, of emptiness, of being thunderstruck, of being lost, of temptation, of disappearing, and finally today, the seventh gift, the gift of misfits. The dark wood is the place where it's possible to be moved and transformed. In the dark wood, we're able to find a direction, discover our voice, earn some wisdom, feel an embrace, whatever it is we need. And we enter the dark wood not because we're interesting, but because we struggle. Eric Elness says that the only requirement is that we struggle. We don't have to be smart or holy or beautiful or even above average. We just need to be struggling. And so the final gift of the dark wood are other travelers, other misfits, those who've gone before or who are going with us in the present, and those who've just entered, and we may be the misfit for them. So Eric calls these fellow dark wood travelers misfits because, in many respects, dark wood wanderers are a strange lot. Most religious institutions don't have much of a place for them. They want people to be certain, to be full, to follow the rules, to believe correctly, and so forth. And if there's sadness and grief, well, move through it quickly. If not, we might think you're lacking faith, and you're making the rest of us uncomfortable. In contrast to that, misfits who travel the dark wood allow for the sadness. They allow for you to be you. The misfits, our fellow band of rogues, are our source of joy, not because they want to drive the sadness out of us, but because they've experienced the depths of it themselves and have discovered that they can laugh at themselves. They, too, have been surprised by the stealthiness of joy. Advent and Christmas are a bit of a challenge for me, personally. I'm not whining about it, just being honest about it. Our family was Christmas central for many years, for the past 30, really, mostly because I did the Christmas Eve stuff. And my wife's sisters and later their husbands and families would all come to our place. And of course, our children were with us. And after we lost Zach, Christmas has been a dark wood time for me. His memory is most vivid during this time of the year. And it isn't hard during Advent and Christmas for tears to fall like Portland rain. The kid was just so funny. So much joy in those Christmases past. The children really were insubordinate. The family Christmas television special was Christmas Time in South Park with Mr. Hanky the Christmas Pooh and Cartman singing O Holy Night. It is true that grief is the measure of the love that we've lost. And yet, my grief is not the only thing that holds him to me. It will always be there. Nicholas Wolsterstorff lost his 25-year-old son in a hiking accident, and he wrote a book in response called Lament for a Son, and in it he wrote this: "It's the neverness that's so painful, never again to be here with us, never to sit with us at the table. All the rest of our lives we must live without him. Only our death can stop the pain of his death." Yep, there's no sugarcoating that. That's the truth. But it's also true that pain is not the only truth. And pain is not the only thing that holds him to me. Even as it is more sharp at certain times of the year, like Christmas and the time leading up to Christmas, nonetheless, joy pokes me in the ribs, makes a funny face, and I have to giggle every now and then. Is that meet and right? Yes, it is. And thanks to misfits, other Darkwood travelers who travel with their own sadness and who have found surprises, they point them out. Never giving advice, never saying what others should do or think, just telling their own experience, and not afraid, not worrying about what to say or what not to say, because it's all natural, and we know without even speaking, and yet we speak anyway. And then we bust a gut, and laughter pours out unexpectedly. Thank joy for fellow misfits. Amen.